From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of February, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. Chad Hart from Iowa State will be here with a broader perspective of the marketplace, and we'll discuss the weather forecast, too, with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics, and I'll remind you to pick up those tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook. It's a week and a day away now. Don't wait. Register online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day at $6.42¾, down 7¼. May at $6.43½, 5¾ lower. December new crop a ½ cent lower at $5.76. March soybeans at $15.18¼, down 10¾. May 6½ lower. November beans new crop down 2 cents. They settled at $13.72. Bean meal up $1.60 for the day. The bean oil $1.07 lower. Soft red winter wheat down 12¼ at $6.96. The hard red down 18¾ at $8.23. Live cattle futures at $164.97½, settled 40 cents lower. Feeders up 65 at $194.22½, and lean hogs $84.72½, $1.30 lower on the afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He is at agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois, and one of the many analysts that will join us at the All Day Ag Outlook a week and a day from today, next Tuesday, the 7th day of March. I hope you will too. Online at willag.org to register yourself for that event. Good afternoon to you. It's been a rough 3 days, Kurt, in the marketplace, Thursday, Friday, and of course today. Tell me what's happened.
Yeah, it's been kind of brutal since last week there. We're just seeing all-out liquidation from the commodity funds. We've got basically the market just in a hard down. I guess three positive things, and you kind of hit it on that in your intro there. We did see this is day three. Oftentimes when the commodity funds liquidate, it runs in three-day phases. So hopefully that's the case in here where we can see some stability. The market's now getting down to another area of support, much lower than where we were here over a week ago. But I would think the end user would hopefully come forward and get some coverage on. Just a lack of any bullish news as far as export goes. The South American weather, that's well known. That's run its course in through here. And, of course, we got that Black Sea, China on, off. But I think we're just going through a good old-fashioned gut check, liquidation, and maybe Wayne can have a turnaround Tuesday. One bright spot, though, is Voice of the Tomb recommends or has the March 1st as a buy for July corn. So hopefully everybody sees that and takes hold.
Well, we'll see whether that takes place or not in the next week, week and a half. We'll have lots to discuss, actually, because of the All Day Ag Outlook coming up. Glad to have you over there. I suppose, as usual, that you're preparing some extra things for the folks, and we'll get a chance to see some more from you then.
Yeah, that event's just a classic. It's a great event to be at. We've always enjoyed being part of that program. Wealth of knowledge there, and just a lot of great ideas that's being shared, a lot of great questions, and above all, we're able to visit with everyone personally and face-to-face, and that's one of the best parts of it. But no, probably top center now would be catch-up marketing ideas. Before, we were in the mindset keeping it simple, having some downside protection, price floors, do some replacements. With this sell-off in here now, we're going to have to fine-tune our strategies on catch-up sales to get guys where they want to be here as we move forward. But two, if you sold quite a bit of cash green, these are excellent opportunities in here to you sold to defend. We kind of like defending the 670 area on corn and defending that 1560 area on beans. What I mean by that is there's nothing worse. You sell something, all of a sudden the weather changes later on the growing season and goes up. So also, you know, look at some courage calls. But two, I'll tell you half of what you want to know. We've been at a couple seminars this winter. Our JSA research team has kind of put together a price outlook, and they've kind of projected what the highs or lows could be in a regular time, in a regular atmosphere of marketing, and in a volatile frame of marking during weather. And I'll share those numbers on the all-day outlook, but I won't share what day it will happen.
That's too funny. Before I let you go, soybeans, are we very worried about them at all? There's an awfully big crop coming out of South America, but it sure seems like there's just enough happening consumption-wide across the planet and domestically that they feel better lifted than the corn.
Yeah, I think the beans have got a long-term underlying supporting feature. It goes several years back, Todd. I keep kidding you about the TT trade. And that's finally going to come to realization here as we get into this late 24-25. There's quite a bit of optimism there. This renewable bio craze is for real. They're not building these plants for nothing. And if you look at crush margins continue to hang in there quite lofty. Now, beans are going to become quite volatile. We could probably see a $1.50 down and see those rascals turn around and rally $5 or $6 over a period of time. But the biggest unknown and the biggest concern I have is China and Russia. I mean, that's the fear we have. And if something would happen or debacle there, it could be just devastating to the agriculture trade to China.
Usually when we talk to you, you have some insight for consumers as it's related to the livestock sector. Anything for them or for the livestock producer in general today?
A lot of these guys are pretty sharp on needing to come in and lock in some feed needs. The cash grain guys are starting to pick up some grain here on this break, so basis is going to firm up. So kind of use this break in here to secure some feed needs. A cattle and feed report just confirms that we're going to see some very, very tight numbers on cattle going into this summer, next fall. If you like your ribeyes, I go ahead and make sure you got some in the freezer. My freezer's full of pork loins and bacon. This wholesale price on these cutouts are unbelievably low. And in fact, if you look at the base bacon at the retail price, what you pay at the store, and compare it to wholesale price, about 95 cents a pound. There's just a huge price variance there, Todd.
Hey, thank you much, and we'll see you on Tuesday of next week.
Very good. Looking forward to it.
Me too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net, and will join us for the All Day Ag Outlook Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana of next week. You can too. The cost is just $30. Don't wait. Register right now at WILLAG.org. Chad Hart now joins us from Iowa State University Extension. He's an agricultural economist based on the campus in Ames. Thanks, Chad, for being with us again this month. It's been a tough 3 days for the corn market, Thursday, Friday, and today, Monday. What's your assessment?
Yeah, I think as we're looking, it has been a rough 3 days, but same time, too, I'd still argue we're still in a decent spot here. When you think about it, a lot of this started with the announcement at the Ag Outlook Forum of USDA's updated outlook for the 2023 marketing year. And I think what really came out of that is that as we looked at how USDA has sort of updated their projections here over the past few months, what the market sort of centered on was the cuts we're seeing, especially when it comes to international demand, and that's weighing down on the marketplace right now. You combine that with, you know, some increased competition out there for those, you know, export sales, and I think that creates the recipe of what we've seen here over the past 3 days.
What are your expectations in that case for the marketplace? Will it stabilize at a slightly lower level than it has been? Is this just part and parcel of a range that we have been in? What are your thoughts?
I think we're looking to the sort of, if you will, extend the range that we've been in here. But yeah, extend it on the downside here just a little bit and then reestablish a little plateau here. If you think about where we're at right now, you know, the idea is that, okay, USDA gave us their first guess at acreage that we saw here with the Ag Outlook Forum. I think we, you know, we're working our way down here. We'll stabilize, and then we'll be in a waiting pattern for the announcement at the end of March when we see that prospective plantings report. So that'll help us figure out what's going to happen on the supply side, at least in terms of area. And then I think we'll be watching for, let's call it, you know, I like to say that acreage report tends to to make us reset the market back down for a little bit, and then we immediately turn around and worry, okay, are we going to be able to plant everything that we've talked about here? And so I think we're looking at a period of, let's call it, trending a little bit lower, but then stabilizing before things really get bouncy again as we get towards April.
How do you think the marketplace has inferred the increased volatility between the United States and China, and what potential impact it has on exports out of the U.S.?
Well, that's the deal. I think that's part of the concern as we're looking at these export numbers. You know, USDA has been trending that overall picture down. Plus, you add in this idea of that China has, you know, and is still right now projected to be our number one customer when it comes to 2023. Yet we are seeing a much rockier geopolitical relationship between the two countries. And we know how quickly that can get reset again. In fact, that was one of the things I was fascinated by in looking at USDA's graphics that they were using to describe in the Ag Outlook Forum, and how they showed, you know, basically that trade with China. You know, we watched them become our number one market back about 10 years ago. And then when the trade war happened, we saw a dramatic and significant cut there, and just how critical, if you will, China is to that export picture as we're looking forward.
Have we managed to gain everything back after that trade war?
We have. In fact, when you're looking at, you know, in terms of the dollar of sales out there, you know, what the USDA graphic showed was, you know, if you go back to 2014, the maximum was a little over $25 billion worth of ag trade with China. The last couple of years, we've been up in that $35 billion range. So we've more than bounced back to top those record highs from a decade ago. But it also just shows how quickly that Chinese market can swing from a positive to a negative.
Having the dollar amounts be the same in an uptrending price market is one thing. Have the exports in total metric tons or bushels been able to be maintained?
Not necessarily. In fact, in this case, I would argue if you look back at what we experienced, you know, looking at bushels, our best year in terms of quantities was actually the 2020 marketing year, which would have been the 2021 calendar year. Then what we saw in 2022 were fewer bushels, but at a higher price. That actually pushed us to the record dollar level we saw coming out of the 2021 crop, 2022 calendar year. And then what they're showing for 2023 is a little bit of both, you know, continued downtrend on the bushels, but then a weaker price as we're looking forward as well.
Last week, during USDA's Agricultural Outlook Forum, they addressed in some detail bio-based diesel fuel production, both soy diesel and renewable diesel. The agency makes its estimates on policies in place, and it didn't appear to be particularly excited about the addition of renewable diesel.
They don't, and you know what USDA's numbers are reflecting is sort of what's built in on the ground now. And I think when we're looking at renewable diesel, we see tremendous potential, but that potential is at least 2 to 3 years out. You know, these renewable diesel refineries do take quite a lot of time to build. They are complex. They're basically like crude oil refineries. And so the idea is what we have seen is a slow buildup in this production over the past couple of years. USDA's numbers say that that trend will continue. The question is, when does it really start to accelerate? And based upon what I'm seeing in terms of the proposed plants that we have across the country, it looks like that won't happen until maybe 2025 or 2026.
Again, with that understanding that USDA projections use existing policies, I'm wondering why it is that with all the capacity coming on or expected to come on as it relates to renewable diesel, that the agency didn't have a better outlook.
Well, in this case, yeah, when we're looking at USDA's projections, they always stick to current law. And so the IRA would be in their projections as they're looking forward here. And they also, yeah, you want to think of it this way, they don't tend to extend themselves beyond what either is in that current policy or, if you will, the trend within that current policy. And especially as we look at bio-based diesel or renewable diesel side, the idea is they're looking at that trend in growth over the past few years to help set what that trend would be into the future. And so that's, since there isn't an official policy number out there for them to grab for the diesel side of the market, they go based upon that trend. And that trend has been a slower growth pattern than I think a lot in the industry are expecting.
And finally, USDA on Friday of last week released the February yields by county in each state. What did you see in Iowa that you thought was of interest?
Well, I think what you saw in Iowa is sort of like a microcosm of what we saw across the nation. We saw our strongest yields to the eastern side of the state, especially the northeastern side of the state, and that's sort of what we saw when we looked at corn yields across the country. When you looked at what USDA was publishing nationally, they were showing Minnesota, Illinois, Wisconsin, achieving near record to record yields, and we saw the same thing as I looked towards northern and eastern Iowa. On the other hand, where do we see our lightest yields? It was along the west and to the south for us there. So in that sense, yeah, the map lined up with what I saw nationwide. It also lined up with, as I traveled around the state, where we're running into those farmers who were telling me, you know, I'm staring at some of the best crops I've ever seen, despite some of the problems, but also where the drought did truly impact production across the state.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Chad Hart is an agricultural economist with Iowa State University Extension. Hey, don't forget to sign up for the All-Day Ag Outlook. But before that comes up on Tuesday of next week, there's another meeting that you may want to attend. That's this Thursday from 8 to noon at Parkland Community College here in Champaign. And it includes your lunch. This is called Seeding Your Covers. They'll be talking about air seeding of cover crops, aerial application, corn head seeding, precision planting for cover crops, commercial seeding with a retailer, and vertical tillage. It's sponsored by the Champaign County Soil and Water Conservation District. You can look them up for more information or online at willag.org, where, again, you can sign up for the All-Day Ag Outlook and find the details of this Thursday Seeding Your Covers event that's taking place at Parkland from 8 a.m. until noon. It's a bit of a raucous Monday weather-wise here in the state of Illinois, and Mark Russo is here to talk about that, as well as what's happening across the global growing regions. Hi, Mark. Thank you for being with us. Let's start with this morning. In Champaign County, there were a couple of tornadoes that touched down.
Yes, Todd, a very unusual occurrence here for this latter portion of February. But then again, with this very potent storm season or storm system moving across the Corn Belt here, there's enough moisture and instability of the atmosphere to create, what was a couple of tornado touchdowns or reports here within the area, as well as some other portions of Illinois and in the Midwest as well.
And then, if you look further out into the week, Friday looks like it's going to be snowy.
Yeah, we're seeing some colder air work its way back into Illinois and the Midwest later on this week, and then another storm system moving out of the plains and impacting us, particularly on a Friday. Still some debate as to how much rain and how much snow, especially the northern part of the storm system, where exactly is that going to be aligned here? And so there's debate and model guidance. Probably that debate will continue for another day or so, but at least compared to yesterday, it does look like things are at least tracking a little bit further north and impacting a bit more of Illinois than what it looked like at least on Sunday.
And so something to watch. Is it unusual at this time of year, or maybe I should say, how unusual is the weather we have this week at this time of the year? And also, has it begun to refill the moisture levels, especially in the eastern part of the Corn Belt?
Yes, it is pretty unusual. And what we're seeing here, the reason why this is taking place is that Currently, there's some very cold air that is working its way into Canada and the western U.S. already. Some of that has already come down into the U.S., but then also happening at the same time is a very strong ridge of high pressure over the southeastern U.S. So you have this combination of potent Arctic cold with very warm air kind of in the warm sector, and that's enough to generate these very stormy conditions and pretty extremes on the temperature side of things, but also that helps to generate some pretty unusual precipitation as well. And so overall, that's going to be, it looks like that's also going to continue as we go into next week as well.
It's just a north-south divide that we've been watching for the last couple of weeks now.
Yeah. And some of that does begin to become a little bit more east-west, but a lot of this cold that we're seeing here now move back into North America is driven by this major stratospheric warming event. And typically those have some legs or can produce a kind of longer duration cold for portions of the U.S. And so, yeah, we think that we're going to be in this here for several weeks.
Turn your attention to South America. What are the things we should watch in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, as we kind of turn the page to March, not much is really changing across South America, meaning that Argentina continues to have a warmer and drier bias. And so for late developing crops here, that's still going to increased stress and ultimately limit yield potential there. Whereas up in Brazil, overall, much of the main growing areas will see normal rainfall over the next 2 weeks. So in a place like Rio Grande do Sul, where soybeans are still developing, that'll be beneficial. But then further up north, where harvesting is taking place for soybeans, then there could be some additional delays. Although we don't see anything, excessively wet or anything that looks to cover at least a larger percentage of growing area across the region.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Don't forget, as I let you go for the afternoon, to register for the All Day Ag Outlook online at willag.org, willag.org, or at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. We're just a week and a day away from the big event at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, the All Day Ag Outlook. It is an annual event you should not miss. One of the best conferences you'll attend for the year, I promise. The FarmDoc team will be there. The Will Ag analyst will be there. We'll hear about the weather from Eric Snodgrass, and John Deere's Mark Cheney will give us a view of automation and AI in the ag industry. It all happens next Tuesday, not this one, but the following one, at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is just $30. That includes your meals. All the details online at willag.org. Don't wait. Register today.